Father, we thank you for this day that you have created. We thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, give us eyes to see you and change our hearts to follow you in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated? I don't know today if you are a bit of a movie buff. You might have seen some of the films I've seen, possibly not. You may have seen the 1990 film called Nuns on the Run. In it, two small-time crooks, Charlie and Brian, played by Eric Idle and Robbie Coltrane, are on the run. And they happen to stumble across a convent, and they think this is a great way to lose the police who are hot on their trail. So they disguise themselves as nuns. Charlie becomes Sister Inviolata of the Immaculate Conception, and Brian becomes Sister Euphemia of the Five Wounds, or Five Wounds for short. One day they find themselves obliged to teach the religion class in the convent, and in a great scene they're to be found discussing the Trinity. Charlie, who's a lapsed Catholic, tries to explain it to Brian. I should explain at this point that Robbie Coltrane is about 20 stone, has a cigarette in his mouth, and is dressed as a nun. So, Charlie, you've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but the three are one. Like a shamrock, my old priest used to say, three leaves but one leaf. Now the Father sent down the Son, who was love, and then he went away. He sent down the Holy Spirit, who came down in the form of a, Brian, you told me already, a ghost. No, a dove. The dove was a ghost? No, the ghost was a dove. Brian, let me try and summarize this. God is his Son, and his Son is God. But his Son moonlights as a Holy Ghost, a Holy Spirit, and a dove. And they all send each other, even though they're all one and the same thing. Charlie, you've got it. You really could be a nun. And then they comment on the fact that if it all made sense, then you wouldn't need faith to believe in it. And that's the problem, isn't it? When we come to Trinity Sunday, sometimes it can all seem a bit of a joke. It's far too difficult. Difficult languages, difficult ideas. How can we possibly still believe in the Trinity? It was St. Augustine who once said, deny the Trinity and lose your soul. Try to explain the Trinity and lose your mind. Well, that's not terribly inspiring for a preacher on Trinity Sunday. And of course, there's some people who simply dismiss it out of hand. You might have once been to that beautiful house called Monticello in the fields of Charlottesville in Virginia. It was the home of the third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson. And Thomas Jefferson was no fan of the Trinity. And he wrote these words. When we shall have done away with the incomprehensible jargon of the Trinitarian arithmetic, that three are one and one is three. When we shall have knocked down the artificial scaffolding, reared to mask from view the simple structure of Jesus. When, in short, we shall have unlearned everything which has been taught since his day and get back to the pure and simple doctrines he inculcated, we shall then be truly and worthily his disciples. You see, Thomas Jefferson was a man who did not believe in the supernatural or the miraculous. He once published an edition of the New Testament with all the supernatural taken out of it. And you can imagine it was quite a small document. All he had left then was the moral teaching of Jesus and the apostles. But this morning, I just want to encourage you, never be ashamed to say, I'm a Trinitarian Christian. This is the great glory of the Christian faith. At its core, our faith, like a good stick of Blackpool rock, has the word Trinity stamped all the way through it. The word Trinity may not be in the Bible, but the great truths of the Trinity are shot all the way through the pages of the Bible. So first of all, we see this. We only see God in a partial picture. God will always be beyond our grasp. He's always mysterious, hidden from us. But thanks be to God, he has come to us. He's shown us what he is like, so we're not left in the dark. Do you remember the story of the wise men, the Magi, who visit the baby Jesus? The star that guided them in the sky did not go all the way to the stable. It stopped, in Jerusalem at the royal palace. And there the scribes and the teachers of the law were asked, "Where will the Messiah be born?" They looked at the scriptures and said, "Straight away, it's Bethlehem." And then the wise men continued on their journey. And that for us has got to be a good illustration of how we come to God. Our conscience, nature, our reasoning can take us so far. But we need to come to the scriptures to decide what the like of God is really like. We may get some sort of inkling of what he is like, but we need the scriptures to tell us about the Trinity. I think of the dark side of the moon. For all of human history, nobody had ever seen the dark side of the moon. From our perspective on Earth, it was completely hidden. Then in 1959, a space probe went up into space and photographed for the first time the dark side of the moon. It needed to be revealed to us because we can never see it for ourselves. And again, it's like how we think about God and the Trinity. We need someone to reveal it to us, to show us what God is really like. So we only see a partial picture. But then we also see some, if you like, family portraits all the way through the New Testament. Often we say the words of the grace, which we find at the end of 2 Corinthians 13, glimpsing something of the unity of God. And when we say the grace, we say, "May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore." All three persons. I think about what Peter says in his first letter, Peter, chapter 1, when he's talking about how we are receiving God's salvation. He's talking about God's people who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience in Jesus Christ by the sprinkling of his blood. All three persons of God working together for our forgiveness and salvation. Or think of the Annunciation when the angel came to the Virgin Mary to tell her, "You will have a son. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born to you will be called the Son of God." Or what about one final example from the Great Commission at the end of Matthew's Gospel? "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name," singular, "of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Those are just examples of the New Testament that tell us God comes to us in three persons. Now, how do we hold this with the idea that the Jewish origins of our faith were really monotheistic? There's just one God. And every morning a good Jew would say these words from Deuteronomy, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And really the story is really how to combine these two things. There's one God in heaven, but he appears to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity helps us to understand how we can still say there's just one God, but he comes to us in three persons. So we do see just a partial picture. We do see some sort of family portraits, if you like, through the Trinity in the New Testament. But let's think about our experience as we pray. Now, sometimes it's possible to experience something, but you don't have the words to explain it. Now, I do not understand how to explain physics in electricity. All I know is that when you flick a switch, the light comes on. I don't have the words to explain it, but I know it's my experience. Most of us have love in our lives, but how can we put love into any sort of words? We experience it, but we can't always explain it. And as we come to praying to God, we experience these things, but it's very hard to put it into words. Think of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us. "Give us our daily bread." We come to the Creator and Sustainer, the source of all good things, the one who gives us all good. And whether we're praying at home, in bed, in our car, we have this extraordinary privilege of praying to the Creator of the universe and asking him for things. We are praying to the one who sits on the throne, who made and holds the world. "Give us our daily bread." We're praying to our Father. "Forgive us our sins." We're praying to the one who came alongside us, who died on the cross on our behalf, the one without whom there is no forgiveness. This is the very center of the gospel. And we're praying to the Son, God beside me, forgive us our sins. We're praying to the Son. Lead us not into temptation. We're asking the one who delivers us, who transforms us. He helps us experience something of the love and care of God in our own lives. And as we pray, we're praying with the Holy Spirit in us. And as we pray, we express our dependence on God for all our needs. Give us our daily bread, our material needs from the Father. Our spiritual need, we need to be forgiven, we're praying to the Son. Our moral need, we need to have the Holy Spirit within us. And the life of God meets us in all these three ways. And as we pray, we're caught up, if you like, to that one God who is three in one. Now let's think about some of these applications. Is it possible we can still hold to a missionary faith that believes in God as Trinity? I wonder, in your garden, do you have a trellis? Some sort of framework that a plant happens to be growing up. Take away that trellis or the framework, and the whole thing just flops over and dies. In our Christian living and teaching, we need the Trinity to be that framework, that trellis that holds everything together. Now, it's very tempting in our day and age to simply say, all religions are the same, and we all worship the same God. But when we try to unpack that small little word, G-O-D, we actually mean very different things by it. We live in a much more connected and diverse world than ever before, and quite often our Christian faith rubs up against other beliefs and other systems of thinking. Now, for Christians, very central to our faith is that God has a Son, the Lord Jesus. But of course, if you're speaking to a Muslim, it's the height of blasphemy to say that God has a Son. And you therefore are going to have a very interesting conversation, and you have to make some sort of decisions about who God is. Now, please don't misunderstand me when I'm saying this. We need to work for peace and harmony in our communities, but that does not mean we always have to agree with one another. We can still hold on to the distinctive differences of Christianity and love others as Jesus told us. Let's not believe those who say if you disagree with someone, that's simply hating someone. Disagreement and hatred are not the same thing. The message we share and proclaim every Sunday is for all nations and all peoples, no one excluded. So let's not be embarrassed to say that Christianity is a missionary faith. It needs to be shared with others. Let's not be embarrassed to say we hold to a Trinitarian faith. This idea of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we do see just a partial picture. The Bible helps us to see God in the whole. We saw a family portrait. The New Testament was shot through with this belief in the Trinity. We also have this experience of prayer. As we pray to the Father, through the Son, in the power of the Spirit. And we share in a missionary faith. We share with others that the God we worship is three in one. And I want to finish with a prayer this morning written by a professor in Durham. And he once gave a great sermon for about 15, 20 minutes that all had words of one syllable on the Trinity. I haven't tried that this morning, but you look at it online, it's an entire sermon with words of one syllable. And he wanted to get across that if we believe in the Trinity, we do not need difficult language. We do not need big words. It's really the very simple fact that our God comes to us. The one in heaven, the Father. The one beside us, the Son. And the one who dwells within us, the Holy Spirit. So let us pray together in these words of Mike Higdon, that professor in Durham. Shall we pray? O Lord, our God, help us to know you when we pray. Help us to know you as the one to whom we pray. Help us to know you as the one with whom we pray. Help us to know you as the one in whom we pray. Help us to know you and to love you and to live our lives for you, who is one God in three, Holy Trinity. Amen.